I want to thank Miles for that long and lengthy reading. It's all I gave. And I appreciate the good attendance. Brother Mike's lesson did well last week. A good number here and on time. My talk this morning in this series was to be about the four ways to apply the teaching of Jesus. And I kind of like Brother Chuck last week when he said, you pick four things out of everything and try to come up with a reasonable way to talk about just four things. But hang in with me. By the time I get about two-thirds of the way through, we will have figured out maybe what those four are. If we step back and look at the teachings and the preaching of Jesus as a whole, we can see that most of what he preached or taught was not so much about informing his followers with lessons about the law. That was what the Pharisees did. His was not so much about informing them as it was about trying to transform them, transform their lives of those who would listen to what he was saying. And in that Matthew 5, verse 20, he says, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And I think, man, that's a bummer, because how could these ordinary folks sitting on the hillside listening to that sermon, how could folks that look like them, folks that look like me and you, just ordinary people, how could all of us and all of our ordinariness have a religion that would exceed that of the learned theologians of the day, with all of the knowledge and everything that they would have? And I believe that the answer to that is simply by applying what we do know, by applying God's word in our lives. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter in verse 3, he's talking about the Pharisees, and he says, "Do what they tell you to do, but don't do what they do. For they do not practice what they preach." They had the knowledge, and no doubt they believed, but they didn't put into application what they knew. And the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, I think is one of the greatest examples of Jesus' teachings that really does emphasize application. Verses 3 through 11, we call them the Beatitudes. And he says, "If you apply these principles, you'll have a happy life." Verses 12 through 16, "Apply these principles, and you'll be a great influence for the good of others." There he's talking about the light and the salt. 17 through 20, the importance of applying the laws and the commandments of God. Verses 21 through 27 talks about applying not just the letter of the law, but the intent of the law. "You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, but I say," and he takes it a step farther. Verses 28 through 32, applying God's intended relationship of the husband and wife, talking about adultery and all of that. 33 through 37, applying the core concepts of being truthful. 38 through 48, applying God's principles of love and hate and revenge. And that's just chapter 5. That's just the first part of that sermon. We still have 6 and 7 to go. If we look in Luke, the 10th chapter, a lawyer comes to Jesus and he asks of Jesus a simple question, but it's a profound question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And you're familiar with that. He tells him some things. He says, well, I've done that. And he says, the last part was to love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus then gives him an explanation by which he could get the picture. And we know that is the story of the Good Samaritan. And when Jesus is done with that story, he says, go now and do likewise. Take the story that I just told you, make application in your own life by helping those who are in need. And I would suggest that from that passage, we'll go back and we'll look at that passage, we can find 4 ways of applying the teaching of Jesus. If you will, turn with me to Luke 10, verse 25 through 27. Luke 10, verse 25 through 27. And a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, well, what's written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And there we have 4 ways that I would suggest that we could apply the teachings of Jesus. First, to love the Lord with all my heart by applying the teachings of Jesus. To love the Lord with all my soul by applying the teachings of Jesus. To love the Lord with all my mind by applying all of the teachings of Jesus. And fourthly, to put into action my love for the Lord by loving my neighbor as myself, by giving service to those who need it. Here's the thing. We may know 4 things about the teaching of Jesus, but unless we put that knowledge into application, we're like a book that's never opened. A book that's never read. We're full of words. We're full of information. We're full of knowledge. But we're of no use to anyone. We may believe 4 things about the teachings of Jesus, but unless we put our belief into action and make application of our belief, we're no different than the devil's angels who believed in Jesus. But James 2, verse 19 said, they believed, but they trembled. And we may even obey 4 things. We may obey 400 things from the teaching of Jesus. But unless we apply that obedience with love, then we are no different than the slave who obeys only out of fear. In 1 Corinthians 13, a familiar passage, a part of Paul's discourse on love begins with these words. And beginning in verse 2, he says, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith, I believe, enough to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And he continues, he says that if he gives all that he has, if he obeys, if he gives all that he has to feed the poor, but does it without love, it profits him nothing. When I read this verse in Luke 10, the way it's laid out in a very all-inclusive kind of way for whoever would seek eternal life, I'm reminded, this is a little aside, I'm reminded of another group of four phrases of commitment that I grew up with. The man who authored these other four lines of commitment did so for a youth group, a youth leadership club. And I think he must have been a man of faith, and I'm not too sure, but what maybe he didn't borrow his lines from this passage right here. But his verses of commitment were in the form of a pledge for the club members, and it went like this. I pledge my head to clear thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to greater service, and my health to better living for my club, my community, and my country. Some of you may recognize that as the 4-H Club Pledge. Founded over here, just the side of Springfield, back in 1902, just 20 or 30 kids at the beginning, and now, after only 3 or 4 generations, has a membership of over 7 million young people in America. It makes for an interesting study when you look at the emphasis that they apply or that they place on the application of knowledge that they learn. Back to Luke 10. I said that there we could find four ways to apply the teaching of Jesus. What if each morning we said our pledge to God when we woke up? I love you, Lord, with all my heart. I pledge my heart to greater loyalty to you, Lord, and I will do so as I show the world by applying the things that I've come to know, the things that I've come to believe, and the things that I've come to obey from the teachings of your Son. Not because I have to, Lord, but because I want to, because I love you with all my heart. I love you, Lord, with all my soul, and I pledge to you that I, as a living soul, will love you. And that includes my health to better living. After all, this body is the only temple that I have for you while I'm living here. The things that I know and the things that I believe and the things that I obey are all kept in this earthen vessel until such time I share it with others. And I'll do that, Lord, as a shining light in a dark world, that I may bring glory to you because I love you with all my soul. And I love you, Lord, with all my mind. I understand that it is my mind that must be disciplined in order for me to put into application the things that I know, and the things that I believe, and the things that I obey. It is my mind that must be disciplined not to lie to me, to think that I can love you and hate my brother. It is my mind that must be disciplined not to deceive me into thinking that I can have evil companions and not be corrupted by that. It is my mind that must be disciplined not to lie to me, to think that I can take fire into my bosom and not be consumed. It is my mind that must be disciplined, and I pledge my head to clearer thinking, Lord, because I love you with all my mind. And lastly, Lord, I pledge that I shall love my neighbor as myself, because I know that you have given him to me, that I might use him to teach the world about your Son, so that the world might know the teachings of Jesus, that they too might come to believe the words of Jesus, and that they might eventually obey the gospel of Jesus. And so, Lord, I pledge to you my head, I pledge my hands to greater service, that my neighbor might become my brother or my sister, and also love you with all their heart and soul and mind. It was a challenge to find four ways to apply all of the teachings of God, but I think if we look at Jesus' response to this lawyer, we can find a way, one way, one of maybe many ways that we can do that. I'd ask that you consider these thoughts in the days and the weeks to come, and we'll have a dismissal prayer now by Brother Allen.